The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome into another off-season bonus episode of Stone Cold Strohs. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Palillo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. Charlie and Josh, since it's not as newsy of a week this week, we wanted to circle back to a conversation that happened last week on the show podcast with John Heyman and Joel Sherman. They had Dusty Baker on as a guest. He once again voiced his displeasure, some of the displeasures that he had with his time here in Houston. Says he didn't really feel like he was in charge. Quote, some of the battles with the front office I've had for a number of years, sometimes you get tired of fighting City Hall on something you're sure about. And then he went on to say, quote, the one thing that kind of bothered me a little bit is I only chose one person on my staff. That was AJ Hinch's staff, everybody there but one guy. We had a blueprint on how to win, but I wish I could have had more freedom in choosing my staff. What's your reaction to hearing that? Is that a disgruntled worker that's airing grievances, or is this a Hall of Fame manager communicating legitimate gripes?
Oh, there's a nice space in between where I would say it falls. Look, I understand much of what Dusty's saying there. Bill Parcells, the old football coach, a couple of times when he was fretting over lack of personnel control, hey, you want me to cook you a fabulous meal? Let me at least choose some of the ingredients. Dusty understood he wasn't going to make the roster. But generally speaking, a manager, certainly a manager of credentials and heft and tenure as a big league skipper, that he had basically no say-so on the staff. I understand how that would chafe at him. And while I don't think there was any implication from Dusty or reason to believe that Joe Espada was Jim Crane's eyes and ears and as AJ Hinch's bench coach, who was, I guess, forced upon Dusty, who, remember, got the job shortly before the start of spring training when the whole Hinch and Luno firings occurred in January of 2020. But, you know, Dusty understood the terms when he took the job. He wasn't exactly in demand for any other major league managerial gigs at the point. And if it was such a miserable existence, well, he endured it for 4 years and four American League Championship Series appearances, one World Series loss, a World Series win. So no tears, alligator, or real from me for Dusty. But I understand what he's saying.
I do too. And part of me is like, yeah, Dusty's, if you're going to bring guys in that you want, then that means some other guys have to go out the door. Maybe he wanted Joe Espada out the door because he's like, this guy might end up taking my job. And that ended up happening. I kind of say that in jest, but that's basically what ended up happening. The other thing that occurred to me, and that's what's kind of fun about these, we can kind of speculate, like, who does he mean? Which coaches? What is Dusty exactly talking about? Alex Cintron, it occurred to me, the hitting coach, especially after we've seen what's happened with the Astros of the last couple of years, swinging at all these early pitches, not exactly like guys having historic years over the last couple of years, these Astros hitters. So if I'm Dusty Baker, we knew he didn't like the analytics stuff, some of the new age things. And if I was Dusty, I would imagine swinging at the first pitch as often as the Astros do probably bothered him because he's an old school guy. You work a count, you make a pitcher come in and give you a good pitch. You don't just swing at the first thing thrown up there. You don't even give the pitcher a chance to make a mistake when you do that. So it occurred to me, maybe that was one of the things that Dusty didn't like, just the overall approach with the hitting. And as since Dusty's left, I don't have the numbers, I haven't looked it up, but it seems like to me that the swinging early and often is actually happening even a little bit more. And we've talked about it with Altuve doing it regularly in the leadoff spot. And, you know, very often Yordan Alvarez would be up to bat as the second hitter after one pitch was thrown. So some of these old school things versus the new analytics, I think that might have played a role in some of Dusty's frustration.
We want names, Dusty. It would be poor form to, after the fact, say, yeah, I wish we could have gotten rid of that guy. But, you know, if it was that big a deal or so stuck in Dusty's craw, it's not as if he ever went to the mat. You know, was it a personality conflict, or did he feel Coach X wasn't very good at his job? But overall, they were still winning a whole bunch of games. 2020, the short COVID season, you weren't going to make any changes, I don't think, coming off of that. And then in 2021, they went to the World Series. 2022, they went to the they won the World Series. So I don't think there was any critical point where Dusty had the hammer to say, hey, here's the wink link on the staff. We must replace that guy. But coaching staff salaries are nickel, dime, penny ante stuff. And it's not like Dusty was a $5 million per year manager, but I would think a couple of years into the position, if he'd said, hey, I really want to replace this guy. You know, it's not like you'd have had to eat a Jose Abreu contract if you let go a pitching coach or a batting coach or a bullpen coach or a first base coach with a year left on his contract. So I'd say bygones are bygones on this, and it really doesn't matter at this point.
And to be fair, it seems like Dusty won a power battle with James Click. So he had some kind of say in the organization, or he wouldn't have stuck around and Click moved on. So, and we know that him and Dana Brown maybe didn't see eye to eye all the Yiner Diaz stuff. And they also mentioned that article about, you know, Dusty winning with Jeremy Pena in the, you know, the top third of the batting order in 2022. Well, the following year, Jeremy Pena wasn't that great. They were pinch hitting for him in the playoffs. So things change, seasons change. But the thought that Dusty didn't have much control, clearly he had some, because James Click would probably still be here, unless that was just a straight up Jim Crane, James Click thing, which it very well might be. But I don't think it comes to that unless Baker and Bagwell and everybody kind of come to a decision like, oh, we don't really need this guy. And you don't want to get rid of your manager and your GM, especially when you have that much success at that point in time. And I think this was just more Jim Crane, keep everything the same. Just keep rolling it out there. Don't tinker with anything.
And when Brent Strom decided he didn't like the vibe anymore, you know, he was a big Jeff Luhnow guy. And after a little time with Jeff Luhnow not here anymore, obviously AJ Hinch gone at the same time, Strom walked, was going to right into retirement until the Diamondbacks lured him out. Right? Dusty was brought out of kind of forced retirement. You know, he wasn't bound and gagged in the managerial position. I just think he looks back as a little bit of the old man. They wouldn't let me take care of my own lawn. Whatevs.
It's tough to argue with the results of the past several seasons. And it seems like they thought Dusty was the weak link since they allowed him to walk. But I do wonder if it makes you feel any different about Dusty's time here. Also, to see that the Astros, Josh, you touched on it, were atrocious on offense, especially in the postseason, towards the end of the season, outside of, you know, some of their main guys and sometimes including their main guys. From an offensive standpoint, their reaction to that was they let Gary Pettis walk. They didn't renew his contract, but Alex Cintron still is here. Do you think maybe that past success makes them a little too married to some of the people that are on this coaching staff? And how much of it is just to blame of just attrition of talent?
Well, that's a part of it. But quite clearly, between Alex Cintron and Troy Snitker, the Astros do not have special hitting coaches. I mean, I always go back to the players, especially with veteran players. Right? Did Dusty's leaving cause Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman to lose a lot of their plate discipline? And at the Astros, on-base percentage and walks drawn percentage free fell in 2024 because Altuve's walk rate dropped a third. Alex Bregman's dropped 45%. To me, that's not at all on Cintron or Snitker or whoever the manager might be. But the cultivation of good in the box hitting skills for younger players. Again, it's to me in the end on the players. Some guys have it, some guys don't. You can lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink. But Jeremy Pena is zero better than he was as a rookie two full seasons later. Yiner Diaz is still a very good offensive catcher, but he was better in 2023. And he still swings at almost everything 2 years into his career. No improvement on that criterion. Mauricio Dubon is not a very talented hitter, but for a guy with little pop, that he swings at everything and hardly ever walks, right? Regression from Chaz McCormick. Was that on the hitting coaches? No, I think Chaz just sucked before he got hurt and when he came back from being hurt. You know, Jake Meyers probably just isn't good enough to be a legit major league offensive player. So I don't think there's a magic bullet improvement to make at hitting coach. But if you have coaches and you're paying them and there needs to be some blame levied, yeah, the Astros hitting coaches certainly don't grade A.
It's kind of like football, right? Like Cintron's been here for a while. Sometimes you make a move just to have a new voice in the room because you're not getting the results that you hope for. So, you know, sometimes maybe it's not that guy underperforming. Maybe it's just the hitters not having a good year. But if it's not working, maybe it's time to try something else.
And I want to caveat what I said, too, about them being atrocious offensively. The Astros were in the top five in batting average for most of the season and in the top 10 in OPS. But they were very middle of the pack when it came to actually scoring runs. But going back to, you know, in that same vein of approach at the plate, Josh, you mentioned Jose Altuve. He's always been a free swinger. In the same vein of them maybe needing to rethink those plate appearances and their approach there, should the Astros be rethinking where Jose Altuve is in this lineup? Specifically, should he be the leadoff man?
For me, I would make a change. It's just, was he 34? He's going to be 35 years old. How long is he going to have that speed where he's that guy you want at the top of the lineup? He's kind of turned into more of a power hitter these days, pulling a lot of things. And I just think that's more his strength. I hate seeing him, you know, miss a drag bunt or, you know, something. So often in the game, you'll see him do that trying to get on base. But it's like, you're one of the few right-handed power hitters that can take advantage of the Crawford boxes. So I'd rather see him, you know, retool and not be worried about, oh, just get on base. Like, get him trying to slug a little more, drive in some runs. And like I said, the speed's going to diminish as he gets older anyway. So I think we're heading for that. But the real question becomes, if not him in the leadoff spot, who do you turn to?
Exactly. They have zero candidates to replace Altuve in the leadoff spot. He just had his first 20 stolen base season in years. The running game, while increasing a little bit in importance with the larger bases and the rules on throwovers, but we're not talking AstroTurf baseball, run, 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 like in the 80s, job one, job two, job three is to get on base. And Altuve, even with the walk rate way down, because he hit 295, his on-base percentage was still 351. Who are you going to replace him with? Jeremy Pena? Zach DeCenzo? You want Kyle Tucker in the leadoff spot? He was their best on-base percentage guy. Altuve, while falling off, and the warning signs are there as he's getting ready to turn 35, if the decline phase of his career accelerates as he's starting that five-year, $125 million extension, but as is, Jose Altuve is still a good player, still a good leadoff batter, and the guy who leads off comes up more than anyone else in your lineup, obviously. So I don't want Altuve dropping down three, four spots in the order to have inferior offensive players get in the batter's box more. So unless they acquire or lo and behold, develop someone who's a worthy leadoff hitter, Altuve's still the guy there for me in 2025. Just playing a little bit less.
I think for me, I would like to see, I think Kyle Tucker in the leadoff spot, just as maybe as an experiment, does have a better approach at the plate, is fast on base paths. And when the bottom of the order does produce, I would like to see a guy who's up to bat that can drive in some runs. And that does seem to be Kyle Tucker's MO, at least when it's not in the postseason the past couple of years.
Just to follow on that point, I mean, if you wanted to flip them and get Yordan back in the three spot, which probably would be the optimal place for Yordan, certainly get more RBI opportunities batting third than batting second. Two guys have a chance to get on before you come up as opposed to just the leadoff hitter. You'd also split the lefties that way for those who are into that if you went Tucker, Altuve, Yordan. But Altuve is a big run producer that you want in the middle of the order. Let's remember his power dropped off in 2024 also, right? He was a 20 home run guy, not a 30 home run guy. But the Astros' overriding offensive issues aren't the top three spots in the lineup. It's what you get below Yiner in the four spot, where it's just a sinkhole way too often. And where are they going to upgrade the production from five on down?
Yeah, we got to know what's going to happen with Bregman here, right? Like that's a big piece of this. Is he going to be back? I would just like to see a more prototypical leadoff hitter. I don't know if it's somebody you trade for or, oh God, I wish somebody you could develop, but just somebody that gets on base a little bit more, doesn't have to have all the power, just more of a prototypical leadoff hitter, good on base percentage. they hardly have any of that on the team at all. I just feel like there's not a lot of balance there. They don't have guys that walk a lot and get on base. And if they had someone in that spot, I wish it would be Jeremy Peña. He hasn't turned into that. He strikes out way too much, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. We know the speed's good with Peña, but maybe that could be a smaller move Dana Brown can make in the offseason, just to get a more prototypical leadoff hitter in here and then just kind of push everybody down. Maybe Altuve hit second and then Yordan third, or however you want to do it. But that would just be something I'd like to experiment with, especially as Altuve gets a little bit older here.
Something probably very few Astros fans will be doing over the next 10 days or so. Look at the World Series. The Dodgers lead off Ohtani, who obviously is the second best offensive player in the game this year behind Aaron Judge. The Yankees lead off Gleyber Torres, who has very little speed, but in the postseason has been banging out hits. He does offer some extra base pop. The key thing is you want your very best offensive players up the most and populating the top third of your lineup.
So watching this postseason, it's weird for people at Houston because the Astros were bounced so early, but perhaps there are some takeaways from that. I'm sure that there are, and we've talked about some of them here, but as the Astros are looking to retool their team for 2025, I can't help but look at some of these stats. Like on the Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton is hitting .294 with a 1.179 OPS. Juan Soto, .333 batting average with a 1.106 OPS. Aaron Judge is still doing Aaron Judge postseason things, hitting .161 on average and .704 OPS. That's not even mentioning the National League and just the incredible amount of runs that have been scored in the league championship series there. But we know the Astros have had some great postseason performances. Obviously, Yordan has great postseason numbers. Altuve is one of the best postseason hitters in the history of baseball. Putting all that into perspective, does this maybe jar the Astros into just how offensively deficient this team is in light of the playoffs?
I don't think so, so much in terms of the playoffs. Giancarlo Stanton was a .233 hitter this year. In the postseason, he's doing legendary stuff. Going into the World Series, Stanton's played 36 career postseason games. He has 16 home runs. So Alex Bregman's 19 in 99 games. Oh, what an unbelievable postseason hitter. We've covered that before. Not really. Juan Soto's just a remarkable, remarkable player. Probably now asking the Yankees for $1 billion, and he'll get closer to it than not. Maybe $600 million. And as you alluded to, Brandon, Judge is still at a pretty quiet postseason. Well, what if he has a hot World Series? You hope the stars shine. They're not always going to. Where else do you get some support from? Right? The Yankees have a very top-heavy order. But can you get just enough here and there from an Alex Verdugo at the bottom, Anthony Volpe at the bottom? The Dodgers just have a superior lineup, basically to about everyone else in baseball, top to bottom, the depth of their lineup. You think of the Astros 2017, 19, and 21 teams. They just don't have the talent on their roster anymore that way. But if the stars need to be at their best in the postseason, Kyle Tucker, we're looking at you over the last couple of years. You want Yordan healthy going into the postseason, and then you hope Altuve, Bregman, Yiner Diaz do enough that you don't have to get output from the bottom of an order where you expect to get very little, the composition of the 2024 Astros lineup.
I know it's just one playoff series, but I think the Astros scored one run in the first 15 innings of the postseason against the Tigers. We kind of talked about that here before, but it was a lot of this same stuff from the regular season where you'd have guys on base and you just couldn't get the big hit. Charlie talks about it. The bottom half of the Astros lineup, there's just not a whole lot there. So once you get past the big guys, good luck getting those runs in. But I'm concerned, especially with Kyle Tucker, has not hit well in the last two postseasons. Jeremy Peña doesn't look like he's going to go back to 2022 form. It's just he had a good streak there. Now he's just kind of an average shortstop and he doesn't walk a lot. Altuve's getting a little bit older. He didn't do much in those two games. And I know it's only two games and the playoffs are kind of fluky, but just the fact, like I said earlier, it was a lot of the stuff that we saw all season long. We were like, okay, the batting average is pretty good. The OPS is pretty good. But when it comes to scoring runs, they weren't very good at that. And I'm not sure what the answer is, but it says a lot when a team like Detroit can come in and just blow your doors off, bringing in pitcher after pitcher. And in the playoffs, you're going to see that where you're going to see bullpen games where one guy comes in throwing 97 miles an hour for an inning, and then they bring in another guy that can do that kind of thing, and you're not real familiar with them. When you play in the playoffs, you're going to have to deal with those situations. You're not always going to get a pitcher for five innings, and then finally you see him for the third time and you figure it out. That's just not how baseball really works anymore. So I think they got to figure out something. And it's no surprise, the Yankees and the Dodgers, all the money they have. But, you know, you look at the Yankees' big three. Well, the Astros have a big three, too, with Tucker and Yordan and Altuve. It's just, you know, the last couple of years, they haven't produced in the postseason.
And, you know, the entire Yankees bullpen that will be active in the World Series, was in the American League Championship Series. You know, the rich, lavish, spend at all costs Yankees, their entire bullpen makes less than Josh Hader. Asset allocation matters when you're planning going forward, and you have Hader at $19 million, and Presley, unless you can offload somehow, he agrees to be traded at $14 million, and then the deader-than-dead dollars of Abreu and Montero, and in all likelihood, McCullers, and at least half, if not all, 2025, Christian Javier. The chickens have come home to roost for the Astros. It's not close to being a great team anymore.
Which is the cost of success when you do have such a dynastic run over almost a decade. You know, and going back to what you said, Josh, about the revolving door of bullpen arms, that seemed to be one of the Astros' secrets to success, was they would hold on to games, and then they could pick on somebody out of the bullpen, because if you brought in so many guys, typically you'd find one guy that was having an off day. And on that day, now granted, when you're in a best of three game series, you don't have that opportunity to see those guys over and over again and start to learn them the way you do in a longer series. But if you don't finish in the top two, well, guess what? You're not going to get that bye, and you're going to have to play in a wild card series. So it does make it more imperative that you jump on guys early or be more competitive with some of the better guys that are there. And it's not like the Astros got blown out. I mean, obviously their pitching was good enough to keep them close, but it just never really felt like the Astros had the offensive firepower to make any real hay in the postseason. I don't necessarily think that had they got past the Tigers, it would have been any different. I mean, maybe it would have been, maybe that would have been the difference. Maybe the old confidence would have kicked in, but I'm not real sure. And going back to the Yankees, they missed the postseason in 23, are now headed to the World Series in 24. Does seeing New York go to the World Series, do you think that motivates Jim Crane to make a more splashy move to retake their place in the postseason? Or does this make him more patient, considering the fact that the Yankees did have to kind of take a step back to take a step forward?
Well, I think unless budget constraints are out the window, the Astros are going to be extremely hard-pressed to make a splash move. They don't have a farm system to make what you would consider a blockbuster trade acquisition. And in what's a relatively thin free agent market, especially the non-pitcher side of things, the big splash would be overpaying Alex Bregman to keep him as an Astro. And then the Astros are already knocking on the door of the second competitive balance tax threshold for 2025. You said, if not exactly, Brandon, that, you know, all things come to an end or at least wind down. Right? The Astros are on the back end of this glory era, which does not mean they're doomed at all for 2025 and in a weak American League West. But in terms of being a superpower, you look at the roster, you look at the pitching staff, it's not there. You know, this is the first World Series since 2013 that the best team for the season in the American League and the best team for the season in the National League both actually make the World Series. Right? The Yankees were the best team over the course of the full season in the AL, the Dodgers in the NL. This will be a rarity, right? Postseason baseball has a lot of Russian roulette attached to it with the 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5 before you get to a league championship series. So the point is to get in the tournament and give yourself a chance, right? The Dodgers faced elimination twice against the Padres. The Yankees beat Cleveland in 5, but a couple of those were hammer and tong, could go either way games with the Guardians. So I don't think Jim Crane's going to overreact and say, we'll carry a $300 million payroll. Go get our Juan Soto. The Yankees had the farm system to make the best offer to acquire Juan Soto. The Astros can't compete with that.
They can't. And the Yankees did reset, but after they reset, they went for the jugular right there, the Juan Soto trade, knowing full well that they end up winning the World Series, they probably are going to have to cut him a blank check to stick around. That's what Yankees fans expect. That's kind of their MO for all these years. We'll see how that plays out. But I think Jim Crane's going to be a little more patient. It's, Charlie mentioned the weak division, and then once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen. And they're already up against it. And, you know, we were talking about the bullpen a little bit ago. In 2022, when Click was the GM, the bullpen was a lot more inexpensive. I mean, they had a lot of guys that weren't making a ton of money. They weren't paying Presley and Hader and all these big ticket guys. They still had Presley, but it wasn't what it is now. You know, you had Phil Maton and Ryan Stanek and guys like that that weren't making a whole bunch of money that gave you important innings. You know, Hector Neris to some extent, but he wasn't getting crazy, crazy money. He was getting a fair amount of money, but yeah, just the approach has changed. And the analytics guys, they don't want to spend a ton of money on their bullpen. They want to allocate that money to other positions. And Astros have kind of gotten upside down in that area now. And I mean, these are guaranteed contracts. At least, you know, Presley should come off the books after this season. We'll see what they do there. You know, Hector Neris is a free agent, but, you know, he wasn't making much anyway because the Cubs cut him. But I don't know how much they can do. That's the problem. But no move might be the right move here. What if Hader bounces back and has an ERA in the ones next season? And Presley kind of stays steady with what he is. Abreu takes another step, becomes your eighth inning guy. Things could work out in your favor. So I think patience is probably the way to go here, because I don't know if Jim Crane really has any other move.
Yeah, that's the pitching side. Offensively, is Chaz McCormick going to revive himself and his career, be given an opportunity to do so? Jake Meyers, wonderful center fielder and going and get the ball, to get the ball, right? Noodle arm, whatever a noodle bat worse would be, what he was the second half of the season. You know, there are a lot of center fielders who can go get the ball. But Jake Meyers is among them and ranks very highly among them is fine. But when the counterbalance is an absolute dead weight offensive player, can you do better than there? Can you do better than him there? Can it be some of Chaz McCormick? Jacob Melton, the supposed present Astros number one prospect, despite lackluster numbers at AA and AAA, decent finish at Sugar Land, but the overall numbers, 24 years old already, so he's no phenom. Right? You look all over Major League Baseball, there are young stars galore, excelling at the Major League level, younger than 24, so that Jacob Melton, he's the Astros' big savior in the outfield right now, man. But they need something to hit. And a healthy season, unless he's traded, out of Kyle Tucker, naturally would improve the Astros offense over 162 games. Wither third base, and is there at least a modicum of improvement that Jeremy Peña, now 27 years old, can make in his fourth season?
Charlie, you mentioned the farm system. Probably time to bring that up. Seemingly every season, the Astros have someone from the farm system that comes up from out of nowhere and contributes. Chaz McCormick, big contributor in 2022 and 23. Jeremy Pena in 2022. Yiner Diaz in 2023. Spencer Arrighetti this year. But Charlie, you noted on a past episode, the Astros did not have a rookie, even in the conversation for rookie of the year in 2024. The farm system was ranked 30th this season. Brian McTaggart just did an article on some young guys to watch for in 2025. He listed Jacob Melton, who is, as you said, their number one prospect, Bryce Matthews, who is their number three prospect, and right-handed pitcher Ryan Gusto, who is currently unranked. Do any of those guys give you any hope that they can inexpensively fill some gaps for Houston next season?
You know, if you're one of the three best snow skiing Saudi Arabians, it doesn't mean you're going to win a medal at the Olympics. Now, there is hope. Bryce Matthews is a young guy, very toolsy. He was awful in his taste at AAA, real contact trouble. Question whether he can handle shortstop defensively at the major league level. But at least he's 22 years old. You cross your fingers and hope that he can make a leap. Gusto's numbers were all right. Factor in that AAA is a league-wide launch pad, so the pitchers generally are a bit better than their statistics. Look on the surface. The hitters, Loper, Fido, Leon, etc., not as good as their numbers look on the surface. So among Gusto, Bluebaugh, Colton Gordon, right, if one of those can be a four or five starter as the Framber Valdez decision looms, and you have Brown and Blanco, right? Arrighetti was the Astros rookie of the year. I mean, he was better in the second half, but his ERA was 4.53. He was a well below average pitcher, right? He's not a rookie of the year candidate. 9 of the prior 10 seasons, the Astros had a rookie finish top 5 in the American League Rookie of the Year voting. Not going to be the case when that balloting is disclosed in November this year, and they have no one on the horizon who's going to be mentioned as a serious rookie of the year candidate going into 2025. May they get a very positive surprise on that front, or the in the scientific community, brain drain, the talent drain of the Astros, the leak continues, especially if Bregman is gone, because Zach DiCenzo would get my first crack over Shea Whitcomb, but he wouldn't be a top 3 or 4 prospect in anybody's system, right? He happens to be the best the Astros have at third base right now, unless maybe Matthews gets a look there at some point. So it's not desperate times for the Astros organizationally. But I think I said a few weeks ago, whereas they were the envy of Major League Baseball, from what they had at the top of their Major League roster to the depth of the minor league system, soup to nuts, almost everyone would have traded everything they have for the Astros. Now, maybe half the teams would think about it.
Yeah, I'm not super excited about any of these options. Maybe Gusto can come up and be a back of the rotation guy. And that would be nice, because you don't know what Luis Garcia is going to give you. We know the deal with McCullers. But it feels like Matthews and Melton, I think they're still another year away. And Charlie mentioned Melton's already getting older, but they haven't shown you anything at AAA, even though Matthews was there a very small amount of time. But when he was there, and Melton, they're not putting up numbers that say, we got to get this guy to the big leagues right away. He's clearly surpassed this level of competition. Perhaps halfway through this year, they'll take that next step, and maybe you get, you know, some new talent halfway through the season to give you some juice. But as of right now, I wouldn't give it much thought that they're going to come in and make a big splash starting the season coming out of spring.
And 2/3 of the outfield at this point stinks. Right, Yordan is going to be full-time DH or close to it, we would presume, going forward. So, all right, Tucker, unless he's moved, is the anchor for one more season in right field. Myers was an offensive embarrassment in center. McCormick was just a train wreck the whole year. You know, they were reduced to lucking into getting some productivity out of Ben Gamel and then Jason Hayward. Well, neither of those guys are going to be here. Dubon is a minus offensive player. Stick him in left some. So there is work to do, but how much license will Dana Brown have to take on any payroll, be it via trade or in the trade market? They really need an internal answer to blossom.
And going back to our conversation about Dusty Baker, you have to wonder who's actually making those decisions overall, or if it isn't a part of that decision by committee thing that we've kind of been talking about for the past couple of seasons now, where it seems like the GM is a part of it, but also Jim Crane is a part of it. Jeff Bagwell seems to be a part of it. And to whatever extent, Reggie Jackson's a part of it. So we're going to find out very soon, and we're going to see where the decision-making on this team lies relative to where it was, which, Charlie, as you mentioned, one of the league's best, one of the most revered and envied.
I want to get this in before we get out, whether it's sooner or later. If forced to watch the entire World Series, I'm not going to say who are you rooting for. Who would you root harder against between the Yankees and Dodgers?
Brandon?
You can't just root for ejections and errors, yeah, and certainly don't root for injuries.
Well, there was a graphic that I saw on Twitter that had the rooting interests of the U.S., and it had Southern California blue for L.A., and it had Massachusetts, the state of Massachusetts, blue for L.A. as well. For the rooting interests of New York, it showed the New York metropolitan area and Florida as the rooting interests for New York. And then the rest of the country in red, symbolizing a giant meteor hitting the earth. I like Ohtani. I don't have any rooting interest against him. I think he's a once-in-a-lifetime player. So seeing him win a World Series, I wouldn't hate it. The New York Yankees and want. I don't think I can root for any of those guys. I mean, Gerrit Cole has just rubbed us all so wrong in this market. We have a history with Aaron Judge. Juan Soto has taken the Astros behind the woodshed in previous postseasons. So yeah, I think my rooting interest against is more New York.
Yeah. Do you want to be thrown off a cliff or shot in the face? Those are our two options here. I think I'm with Brandon, though. It's just that rivalry with New York is we're still in the middle of it. You know, we're still playing Aaron Judge every year and trying to compete against those guys, with the Yankees being in the American League and all the history those teams have had in the playoffs over the last several years. Whereas, you know, with the Dodgers, that was back in 2017, and, you know, a lot of roster turnover since that happened. Now, Clayton Kershaw coming out and making more sign stealing comments in recent weeks certainly isn't helping the cause. But yeah, I guess I'd lean towards the Dodgers if I had to pick.
I'll make this counterpoint, and again, not that any Astros fan could ever swallow enough bile to root for the Yankees, but when this era is looked back upon, right, the Astros now, it's 7 league championship series appearances in 8 years, 4 World Series appearances, 2 World Series victories. Well, the Dodgers win this World Series. They match the Astros on all those except for the consecutive LCS appearances, but trump them in others. Right? The Dodgers have now won their division 11 out of 12 years, and the one they didn't win, they won 106 games and then avenged that, taking the Giants out in the playoffs. Right? This would be the Dodgers' second World Series in this window. And I know natural Astros fans, it didn't count, it was the short season. Yeah, as if the Astros had won the World Series that season, Astros fans would be throwing the fish back. No, we don't want that one. It doesn't count. You know, the Dodgers now, this is 6 LCS appearances in this run of Dodger baseball. So the Yankees, it's a fluke. They're in the World Series for the first time in 15 years. Maybe it'll take them another 15 years. So if they win one, whatever, rather than the Dodgers winning their second within the same era that the Astros have won there too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's tough. It's asking me what kind of cancer do I want? And there's no real good options there. So,
well, what can't happen, because he's been injured and out in the playoff, Joe Kelly to give up a game losing game 7 home run and the Yankees winning it that way, that probably could actually sell to Astros fans. But Joe Kelly, like us, well, like me, will be watching the World Series. I don't want to speak for you guys.
Well, we'll cut it there. That's going to be it for this episode of Stone Cold Strohs. If you listen on podcasts on places like Apple or Spotify, do us a solid. Give us a 5-star rating. We appreciate it. That helps people find our podcast. Charlie, Josh, and I, we hope that you'll join us next week. But you don't have to wait that long to get your Houston sports fix. All you have to do is subscribe to this channel, Sports Map Houston, and our other channel, Sports Map Texans, on YouTube. We'll have more content during the week, including Colts Texans preview over on Sports Map Texans. Thanks for listening. Until next time, go Strohs.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.